You are listening to the People Centric Podcast, where we talk through the toughest challenges that people face at work and give practical advice to fixing those challenges. Thanks for joining our movement to create workplaces that are happier, healthier, aligned, and empowered by putting people at the center of all that we do.
Hey, people-centric leaders, welcome to the People-Centric Podcast. Was that the most corny opening we've ever done for this? Bethany, I see you. I can see Bethany. Like, I'm watching Bethany on the camera, and she's doing this neck thing. Was it too radio-y? What was going on there?
Yeah, it felt very, like, radio show guy.
Radio show guy. I was using my radio show voice. Ladies and gentlemen, the People-Centric Podcast. The podcast for the people.
Welcome to the show.
Welcome to the show. We're going to take a caller right now. Caller, are you here?
Hi, okay. Don. I'm here.
I knew Stephanie was going to do it. So we already have Bethany. You already from Bethany.
I can't help it.
I knew if I called for a caller, I don't know why, but I knew Stephanie was going to be the one most likely to jump in and improv and riff with me.
Hi, Don. Longtime listener, first time caller.
Perfect. Yeah. What song would you like us to play today? Oh, nothing. God. She was stumped.
I thought this was more of like a Delilah, where then you were going to pick a song based on what I talked about.
Oh, yeah.
Delilah or Frasier or...
I was over here trying to think of a quick rhyming jingle that would be the song we would then give you. Welcome to People Centric, where we can help you and your team. But then it stopped rhyming. So we're good. We're done.
Fine. You had a lot of time to, I guess, think about that while we were talking. Yeah. That was something.
Listen to our podcast for some knowledge you might glean.
Wow. See? So this podcast is completely derailed.
It's completely shot. No, you know what? we should jump into. So you can hear right now. You've got Don Herkey here, myself. You've got Bethany Taff. You've got Stephanie Anderson. You've got Philip Herzog. All, and you got to hear from each of us already as we're riffing here at the beginning of this topic. But okay, I'm going to start off this topic this way, and I'm going to talk about a specific industry. We're going to broaden this a little bit. So the industry that I'm going to start off with is healthcare. We work a lot in healthcare. There's a lot of healthcare folks that are out there. And one of the biggest buzz phrases in healthcare over the past couple of decades is called patient-centered care. We have to come out and we have to do everything for the patient. Everything is for the patient. We have to focus on the patient. And we wrote an article a few years ago that got a lot of attention because we came out against the idea of patient-centered care. We said that we don't think patient-centered care and the focus on patient-centered care works very well. And that's based on our experience working with lots of different practices. Now, you might be listening to this saying, I'm not in healthcare, but I think patient-centered care is a good idea. Or you might be in healthcare and say, no, it is all about the patient. We need to be about the patient. But the point that we were trying to make with that article is that it's not necessarily about the patient. It's actually about the people that work at the healthcare institution. So we said, instead of being patient-centered care, you should be people-centered care. And the idea is that if you take care of your people, then they will take care of the patient. And we've expanded this a lot as our own team. We have a mantra that we like to put out there. And so we're going to put the mantra out for you all, and you can choose to adopt it. If you adopt it, you owe us $5 a month. It's a trademark violation that you'll have to pay us regularly for, but you can adopt something similar. And our mantra
is...
It'll be more than worth it. You'll get more than that out of it. And then we also want 10% of all the money that you make from the mantra. That's all we're asking for is 10%. Seems like a small amount to give for this kind of wisdom. But our mantra is team, client, community. Team, client, community. And the idea of team, client, community is that those are our three priorities as people-centric. And it's those priorities in that order. It's team, client, community. So sorry, clients who are listening to this, you are not our top priority as a team. Actually, we are the top priority as a team. And that might sound really selfish, but we're going to focus on ourselves first and make sure that everybody on our team is really well taken care of. And by doing that, our theory has been that then the clients will be taken care of as well, because we will be in a good state and then we'll help you. And then that in turn will help to impact the world around us. So it's kind of like this idea of, if you fly a lot, you get the idea that you've heard it a lot of times, the flight attendants will say, put your own oxygen mask on before assisting others. That's kind of the idea here. is if you take care of your team, they will take care of your customers and the clients around you. And so you should start with that. So that's the discussion we wanted to have today. Is team client community the right approach? What does that do for our team? What does that mean by focusing more attention on your team than your client? Because we all get lost in everything else. So that's that. And then also the community piece. How does the community piece fit into that? Because it's easy to think about team and then client, but where does the community piece fit into? So let's start off the discussion here with our team, just talking about when we say take care of our team, what do we mean? Like, what does that look like, taking care of the team or being team focused first?
Well, good question. I think that we all do a really good job of taking care of our team. So, I mean, I'm trying to think of a good example, but I think that we're all just kind of looking for, you know, if there's something going on in each person's life individually, and we need to kind of step up and help out in some other way. We always try to do that. So this is an example that I always think of with this actually, is when I first started with People Center. I probably shared this on the podcast before, but when I, the first client interaction that I had, me and Diana were going to get to go and do a presentation for a client, lead them through some different workshops and things like that. And I got a phone call that my kid was sick and I needed to go pick them up. And so I felt I was horrible because I really wanted to be there with the client. But in that moment, it was like, okay, our team rallied around me I was able to leave and go pick up my kid and go home and take care of him. And it wasn't an issue because I had just kind of like Matt showed up to the location where this team event was, where this client event was, and jumped in and helped Diana. And Diana was like, no problem, go take care of your little one. And everybody else just kind of checked in to say like, hey, are we good? Do we need anything else? And that way, like the client really was served well there too. So it wasn't like they were left hanging by any means, but everybody just kind of rallied around too and made me feel supported and like, okay, you can go do what you need to do. And you have a high priority here is to take care of your family right now. And so that's one example I think of specifically when we talk about like team, and prioritizing that. There's probably lots of other good examples, but that's the one for me that kind of sticks out personally.
So I'm thinking a little bit about like, what's the impact on the rest of the team on that? So like, obviously for you, Bethany, in that moment, that feels pretty good. Cause you're like, okay, I can go take care of this thing I have to take care of. Mm-hmm. But I'm wondering what, from the other rest of our team's perspective, what do we see in that? Is it, cause I could see other people listening in and going, well, that's annoying. So then great. So now when Bethany has to run home for sick kids, we all have to cover the work for her. But like, what's the response from our team look like?
I mean, I would say, my response to that of why it works is because we don't keep score, right? Like if it feels gross and unfair, if I have to keep score of every time that Bethany leaves versus how many times I have to leave for a personal situation, or if we're keeping track of the flexibility, then it's not really flexible, right? That's not freedom in your time if we're keeping score. And so I think that's just one thing that our team does well is we don't keep score on those type of things. And we just know that we're all going to need that at some point. Oh, except for Don just held up his tally sheet that apparently he personally keeps in his diary about all of us.
And who's winning
his diary? I mean, a burn book, apparently. So
you're making a great point. And then I did make a joke and I held up to the camera a little tally sheet, which shows like the tallies for everybody on there. You all know, notice Matt has a lot more than anybody else does. So.
And then it's me. Okay. Yeah. And then it's
Bethany, just so you know. That's a really good point in terms of like, cause you can do favors. This is true in any relationship, right? If you're like, well, you did this last time, and so I'll do this time and then this. And if you really find yourself keeping score, that doesn't help build trust between the two people, because then you know it's never that we all need each other equally all the time. So if you recognize that, if you're keeping score on it, like if you have a policy, like we have people who have a policy, like you can get so many days that you can go do this, that's kind of a form of keeping score. So does it feel bad to support each? I mean, this is leading, I'm trying to figure out a way to ask the question without leading.
Is this an intervention? Do you guys hate me? Is this what's going on?
Yeah, it's not about you. It's more your kids, Bethany.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, we'll blame them.
All three of them. They take your time and attention away from us, which, you know, is not preferable. Now, you know, I feel like the question could be, well, and it was my question before joining the people-centric team, because there's different things. There's some things we offer here that are different. You know, what Dawn's talking about, an open time off policy, which is there's not necessarily a designated number of days for time off. And anywhere I've ever worked before, I have finagled and negotiated and exceeded always days off and made it work, because I would kind of set up an offer. Hey, this can be this and I can do that. And it always worked. You know, you put in the time, you do the crime almost as it is. Like, you shouldn't take off extra time from work. Everyone gets jealous and it's not sustainable. But here it's cool. It feels less work up front to do those kinds of things. Cause I think when we say team, client, community, team to me means like the success of our team professionally, like in our roles at people-centric. And that can only happen as a team. And so when I have a client mistake, which has happened before, and I've also talked about on this team and on this podcast, people jump in and help. And it's not, wow, Philip, you're so stupid for making a mistake. It's, wow, Philip, like, what do you need? And how can we solve this together? So success here, and then also success outside. Like, we love to celebrate each other's families. Dawn's daughter, Molly, had a great success this last weekend for her acknowledgement. Stephanie and Andy got to do some really cool trips this year with friends, and Andy did a competition, right? Bethany had Audrey, and there's many cool things happening with the team. Matt and, you know, Rianne got to see Jace. Diana is in Japan. So all these things I think can happen because we also support each other during the workday and beyond work hours. And so for me, it's not always, is it hard? It's like energizing and fun. Cause I know, like, when I leave, there's a way that we've set ourselves up where I'm supported when I'm here, I'm supported when I'm not. And my goal as a team member is to do the same for each of you. So that leads to then building good relationships with clients too.
Yeah. I love that. I like that. Just talking about just celebrating each other, I think, is a part of that too. So I like those examples, Philip. And one thing that I was thinking about too is another time that we prioritize like our team first is when I think when we're actually talking about the work that we're doing and our capacity and client, like specific clients. And so I think we've had the conversation too, just transparently. We've had the conversation too, where it's like, okay, how is this work that's right in front of us, or honestly, this client that we're working with, how is this impacting maybe a particular team member? And is it worth it really for us? And we have really honest and open conversations about that to say, gosh, is it worth it? Maybe the weight that this is being put on a specific team member, is it, you know, are they taking maybe too much time from this person? Are they maybe a little bit out of bounds in what they're asking from us or from this individual or things like that? And we have a really honest conversation on our team about that to say, like, is this really like hard for our team in this way? And if it's impacting just kind of our mental health and well-being too, we do want to consider that. And so that's another example that we've talked about when we're prioritizing team.
Yeah, I love that you said that, Bethany. That's kind of what I was thinking, because it sounds like, I think if you're listening to this from the outside in, it sounds like we just say yes to a lot, right? And I think we say yes to the things that benefit our team, but we also say no sometimes too. And I think that's the part of like team, client, community that stands out to me just from like the business side, is like, we say no sometimes to opportunities or working with specific people or specific projects. Like, we don't do everything a client could ever want from us sometimes. And it sounds weird saying that. And even telling a client sometimes that we're team, client, community, it's understanding that we know what we're really great at and what the work we enjoy doing. So that means that we don't do everything. We have healthy boundaries around like our work and our team and our time. And so we're able to say yes to the kind of stuff we were talking about, of like having that flexibility and being able to take time off or step away for something that is going on in your life personally, of like, we do say no. And I think we've done a great job as a company really refining down, again, like the work that we feel like we're really great at and we enjoy doing. And we don't really deviate from that. I mean, it's not that if a client asked us something that was a little bit outside of that, it's an immediate no, but it's usually something that then we, to Bethany's point, we have to think about as a team. We have to talk about and say like, okay, are we going to do that? What would the impact be for the client? What would the impact be on our team if we kind of stepped outside of our normal space and did something like that?
Yeah, it sounds, I mean, when we first talk about, like, if you say, I'm going to put the team in front of the client, and we talk about some of the examples we've given here, it sounds like there's almost a sacrifice for the client, like the client gets less. But what we've seen, and especially healthcare is a fantastic example of this, is that the patient satisfaction scores go up. The quality of healthcare goes up when you take care of your team. And I think we've seen that too. Like our quality, what we're able to do for our clients, the quality gets better. We're not making sacrifices. It's just that we know that if we take care of ourselves and we provide better service overall too. So I don't want people to hear, well, just give up, you're sacrificing something. I think that's the coolest thing about being people-centric, is whenever you find the way to balance, you know, what being people-centric is, which we talk about a lot, which is the empowerment and alignment, the empowerment for the individual trying to become more powerful, than the alignment for the team also working together. Then you answer questions differently. Like we often talk about, like somebody coming to a supervisor and asking for a raise. You know, can I have a raise? And then the non-people-centric answer to that is, well, I guess I got to check into it, or no, it's not time yet. The people-centric answer to that is, I would love to give you a raise. We're on the same team. Let's figure out how to make that happen. And then we're sharing the reality of the situation of saying, like, I'd love to pay everybody more than we can pay. Let's figure that out. If you help us figure that out, that's great. Or if it's like, if your team says, hey, I want to be able to take vacations off, or take a couple of weeks to go overseas, or to take care of a sick kid or something, the old way of looking at it, the traditional way, is what will the company give me? What does the policy say that the company will give me? And then I'm going to take what the company gives. And what we've said is, no, the people-centric way of doing that is saying, we both have a mutual problem that we need to solve here. Let's fix it together. Yeah, let's figure it out. How can I take the time off and take care of the client? And how can I make sure I'm going home and still take care of the what's going on in front of that? So it's not dump the client things. It's that it's our teams working at it together, if that makes sense. How do we maintain some form? I know a question is going to come up, because we talk about, like, our open time off policy is one that I know gets a lot of people, like they get puzzled about it. And we work in a lot of industries where there's a lot of heavy policies, and we don't have a lot of heavy policies. Like our policy, we have a one page bill of rights, so to speak. That's what our team gets from each other, our clients expect from us, those kinds of things. How do you get through? Where does accountability come without policy, I guess, is the question. How do you hold a team accountable if you're not going to have a policy? If you get this many days off, or Here's you can get this. If you have the family emergency, here's who the family can be, those kind of things. How do we still hold accountability?
I think it's so much of that is this: we actually talk to each other and we actually have conversations about things. And I think ruling by policy is a very, like, authoritarian, I don't want to say necessarily old school, but I think that's how a lot of, like, looking back, a lot of businesses controlled their workforce, was just like, we've just got this big rule book and we can be punitive for everything that you break. And it leaves all of the control and power with the employer, versus recognizing, like, when we talk about empowerment, your employees have power, right? And so how do we help them, like, live that out and become more powerful in a healthy and positive way, versus I have to use my power to take you down. I have to use my power to fight you as an employer for what I feel I deserve. And so, you know, it's funny, and we say this a lot to clients, like, ruling by policy, just simply put, doesn't work. And I wish it did. Like, I think my natural style is a little more authoritarian. And wouldn't it be great if we could just, like, write the book and that everyone just did it and they were happy and they followed all the rules? But I think it works for us to not have a lot of those, because we actually just talk about it and we take things a situation at a time and a season of business at a time. And we try to think about, like, I mean, what feels fair, but also, like, what do we want to do, and not keeping ourselves so closely bound by rules that if there are moments where we want to do more for someone or we want to help someone, and this is especially where that community piece starts coming in, if we want to do those things, that we can, and it's not like we're breaking our own rules to do that.
I love that. That's good. Yeah, we just had a conference and we spoke to somebody who was, they said they just implemented a new cell phone policy because somebody was spending time on their cell phone. They had a front desk situation and people would frequently come and the person would be like, wait a second, let me finish this and do something on their phone, and then would pay attention. And the manager saw it a couple times and then they implemented that policy. And they said, so we had to implement that policy, was the discussion. And it happened in a workshop setting. So we got to talk a little bit about it because that's what we were there for, was to just have those discussions. So it's not just me calling out somebody in a random discussion. That's what we were there for. So I asked the question, I said, so have you seen that a lot? And what was the person doing on their phone during that? And the person says, well, I don't know. They just shouldn't be on their phone. That should never take the priority. And I'm like, well, that could have been somebody who was having a really serious problem in that moment that they did that. It could have been, they were texting a doctor about something else related to what you were working on. Like, they're not knowing what was on the phone. And then how did you not go to that person and bring that up? Why did you implement that? And they said, well, it's too bad that person ruined it for everybody else, is what the other person, they commented on. And I said, no, it sounds like you ruined it for everybody else. Like, without, by avoiding a conversation with that person individually of what were you doing on the phone, it shows a lack of accountability. If you're sitting there and you're playing words with friends and you're trying to fill out the last space to be able to do that, and a customer standing in front of you waiting or something, that's different than if, okay, oh, my son, you know, is trying to get home from school and they missed the bus or something like that. And now I've got a second grader waiting outside in front of the school with no ride home. That's a different situation. I like that. You have to have the conversations. It forces you to talk as a team.
I was thinking of what you said earlier, Don, you know, the difference between, and not that all policies do this, you know, we help many, many step teams make really awesome policies, I think, and it's how they're made and how they're served. But a lot of the times it can become, I think as an employee, you can feel like you're entitled, which if policy does that, right, I'm entitled to X number of days. And as an employer, you also can feel entitled. Well, employee, I only have to give you X number of days or whatever that might be or whatever that looks like. And I know we're focusing on time off. This would apply, I think, to anything that makes a healthy team of like, if I give you this, then you give me or owe me that in a way. And in terms of like our team, just like why I show up, I've always loved the mission of anywhere I've worked. And so that's been really important. And I am just highly addictive to serving our clients, like our client teams. I love finding their own mission and their own hearts for what they're doing and serving them. And they're all very different people and different personalities. And as part of your question of accountability, how do you build that in? I kind of think, you know, our team client community is really more like a flow. So the oxygen analogy works well too. I always think of water. I'm a Colorado kid, and you know, the Rockies send water in one direction and it has to flow through a town, and then it goes to the meadows and it goes all the way, you know, to the Gulf of Mexico. And if like we're not getting the flow of resources and support from our own team, then we really can't pass those along down the river to our clients. And then our communities suffer when our clients don't succeed. And so what I love about that analogy too is like team client community, if every business did that, and I think that's a part of what we would say our movement is, think of like all the different communities that would be better if we're very clearly saying we care about our community, but also what about our clients and our team? And it's not at the expense of our client and our community. It's because we care about them that we want to make sure these resources go down the river.
Yeah, it's not something that you get. Like if you come in here, if you came into People Centric and you said, okay, I heard that you have an open time off policy and I can't wait to take advantage of that. And I heard that I get to take off work anytime I want to, and that I want to take advantage of that. And I get this, the team's going to take care of me. I think that would hit our culture very hard and that person wouldn't last very long. I think when we say team client community, what we're asking each other is to give that. It's not what you get, it's what you give for that. So it's thinking, how can I support my team around me? How can I support the people that we work with? And I say my team, meaning everybody sees it as my team. I try to always avoid, side note as a leader, I heard somebody else talk about this recently, how they said, it was a CEO saying, I like to talk about my team. I always say, like, I don't like to talk about my team. And I try to avoid saying my team. I try to say our team, Because it's not mine. You're not mine. If you're mine, then I own it. Then it's you're trying to get stuff from me. I think there's a different mindset. It's our team. It's that we give this for each other. I have many times been felt very, very supported by other people on the team, just like I support back. It's not a management employee give back. It's a team culture of saying, I'm going to support the team of what they need in that moment, knowing that someday I might need that as well. It's not just altruistic. It's knowing that we might come back. Let's talk about the community piece, because I think the client piece is pretty obvious. I'm sure everybody listens to this. You can replace client with customer or patient or whoever it is that you're working with. But the community piece, I think, is another piece. What does the community piece mean? Why is it even in there? Because I think the team piece jumps out, team before client, but then what does the community piece add to that?
I'll just say how I think about it. And I know everybody on our team might think about this a little differently, but like we don't exist in a vacuum, right? Like for us at People Centric and for our clients, we don't exist in a vacuum. We exist in communities and real places and real towns and neighborhoods that are impacted by the work that we do. And I think, you know, I come from a nonprofit background, so I'm very much like, let's put on our cape and save the world some days. So you'll have to forgive me if I'm going there a little too much for you. But I do think we underestimate sometimes the impact that we have just by living our everyday lives and the places that we are and the people who we talk to and the people that we touch. And I think for us, the community is that acknowledgement that we have a real world impact with the work that we're doing. Like when we help a business be successful, that means people have jobs where they have fulfillment, right? Versus feeling that they have to like slug into work every day. Like we've like our believers, like you should be able to really enjoy what you do for your work, and life's too short to work at a job that you hate. And that has a ripple effect too, because then the people in your life benefit from you being a healthier and happier person. And then your neighborhood and your community and then the broader world benefit from that. And so I think sometimes that means that, number one, like acknowledging that impact, but then also looking for like, where can we multiply or maximize that too? And if you live in our local community in Springfield, you know that we'll do like pro bono work sometimes. We will sponsor things. You know, we do try to make an impact where we are when financially like that makes sense. But I think for me, it's that almost like philosophy of remembering that like we don't exist in a vacuum, and there's a lot of impact that we have just outside of our office doors or your office doors if you're a client, and that we want to acknowledge that and look for those moments where like we could do something that would maybe make a wave instead of a ripple of change.
It's really easy to forget. I mean, even in this podcast, right? We don't know who's listening, right? You get some data on that, but there's a lot of listeners who we will never hear from. And we have heard from a few listeners who we didn't know existed, who have come out and said, hey, I applied this, this, and this to what you were doing, and it really helped me here. You know, we speak at conferences a lot. We'll be at conferences. We were just at one a couple of weeks ago, and it was a COO of a company came back and said, hey, I applied this check-in process that you guys talked about in your podcast, and it made a huge difference. And it's suddenly like our managers are thinking about their jobs differently, and the employees are thinking about things differently, and our turnover dropped significantly, and our engagement scores went up. And it's like, and we just did that little tidbit. If we recognize, yeah, there's something bigger in the community that you're impacting, that's what fuels us at the end of the day. I think it's easy to forget that the things that you do, no matter what the business is, no matter what the organization is, no matter whether it's a for-profit, nonprofit, whatever, has a bigger impact, and you have an opportunity every day. What a cool way to look for how you're making an impact. And that fuels us at the end of the day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's really good. I think this is also another area that you could speak that kind of speaks to the accountability piece too for our team. Is that, and I think you were saying this a little bit too, Stephanie, but it's just like the way that we show up in our community, whether good or bad, like if we have community as kind of on our priority list of team client community, if we're showing up poorly in our community, or we're coming across negatively, or we're bashing our community or whatever, like that's not part of how we do things. And that's something that I think is also used to kind of hold our team accountable.
And it's easy to do that when you're on a, when you're trying to lead a movement. I think our team, it goes back to what we're talking about, kind of full circle of where sometimes we get frustrated with a direction a client's going. I mean, just being honest, because we have a vision where we, our whole team cares about what's happening with the client a lot. And sometimes when a client's struggling, I think almost every time when a client's struggling, we struggle at least a little bit too with that client. So then sometimes we have to think a little bit and think, is it having the impact at the end of the day, which goes back to that value that we have, that impact value, that tells us why we do what we do. And if it doesn't have the impact on the community that we would like it to have, it reminds us not to get, or not to, I was going to say not to get frustrated, but you can't not get frustrated. You just can, it only informs what you do next. It's easy to get down, it's on a community.
Right.
Yeah. It's a perspective. It reminds you to kind of recenters you a little bit back towards how things, what kind of impact we're trying to make at the end of the day. You know, curious, this is I keep putting our team on the spot here with questions that we haven't talked about, but I'm kind of curious to hear the team's response. We've talked about mission, vision, and values before, and we have a mission. You know, our mission is to put people, no, I'm sorry, our mission is to create healthy organizations where people are aligned and empowered. And then our vision is to put people at the center of every organization. And then we have our values that are out there, which are team, impact, communication, and I'm forgetting one. Oh my gosh.
Truth.
Yeah. So, I mean, we've got those things, but now then we also have this other statement. We've talked about how your mission is what you do, right? Creating healthy organizations. The vision is what winning the game would look like, right? If you were playing a game, what does winning the game look like? It's to put people at the center of every organization. The values become the rules of the game. So where does this fit in? Like, where does this, we called it kind of a mantra coming in this team client community. Because honestly, if we say things internally, if I hear things, I hear our values a lot on our team, but I hear this a lot, probably more than our mission or vision statement. Where does this fit in if you're an organization?
I mean, the way that I think about it is just like how you what you prioritize. I don't know, a good name for that. Other than that's just what I think of is like, this is how we prioritize. The other things are very guiding in terms of our identity, but this helps us, I think, prioritize how we work together as a team and for our clients and all of those things.
Yeah, that's a good way of looking at it.
I agree with what you said, Bethany, of like, because I think about our values and like, those are the things that we're going to die on a hill for. Like we won't forsake those. Right. And that is identity, who we are. But yeah, to me, I agree. It's like helps me know how to prioritize things or helps me know how to have a conversation within our team or externally, helps guide decision-making in some ways for me. And so it's, for me, really, really closely tied to values. And I think you could pull our values to like touch point each of these. So that's a good question of, I guess, like, what do we call this thing that we do?
Well, I know, you know, team is one of our values directly. And so in a way, I think I always think of our clients, and many of them share, you're a part of our team. You know, they'll say, we had a leadership meeting and we want a people-centric person with us because you're on our team. And so, and I would consider a rubric, I also am team, community, Springfield, right? Like through and through. And so to Bethany's point, how I prioritize, again, that flow of like where we put first things first. And even into our own values, I think like, if you're not truthful with your own team, how can you be truthful with a client and then your community? And if you're not building an impact with your own team, how could you be impactful with a client? And I think it's, you know, it's one of those things, if you're that, to that earlier example of patient-centric care, like if you're doing things to your team at the expense of your team for a patient, like good for your patient, right? Philip walks in as a patient to our hospitals. I want to be cared for. But if it's my care is at the expense of a team as a whole, then if in 5 and 10 years, my patient care will be way worse. And I saw that recently. I checked in somewhere, had a blood draw for a certain situation. And I was just talking to this person and the staff member drawing my blood, which I hate, by the way. So I'm just desperate to talk about anything to keep my mind off of, you know, what's being stolen from my body. And he basically was talking and not passionate about where he works. Let me tell you, I'm like, hey, do you know so-and-so? And he's like, no. Oh, hey, how long have you been at this hospital? a year. Oh, cool. What'd you do before this? Phlebotomy. Like, no passion at all, right? And so I think these are things, again, I don't know all of this person's story, but he is definitely not an engaged person, and it's impacting him. And so these are principles, yeah, guaranteed. If you start to apply them, they make a difference.
That's good. I think what you were saying, Philip, is the idea is that our values and our mission and vision inform how we interact with our team, client, and community.
Totally.
Right.
Yes. Yes.
And so, yeah. So we talk about that a lot of like, yeah, what, you know, are we telling the truth to both our team and our client and the community? And are we making an impact in all of those different areas? And, you know, we talk through those different things. And so they inform how we interact with all of those different groups.
Yeah. And so maybe, sorry to keep on Philip's blood analogy here if you're squeamish, but of like, it is that idea of like patient-centric care would tell you if it means like saving the patient and doing what's right for them, then you would bleed yourself dry, like give them all the blood in your body to make it happen. Right. And for us being like team, client, community, and people centric, it's saying like, no, like you got to put your own oxygen mask on first. And it doesn't actually help the patient for you to bleed yourself dry to give them all of your blood, because then you can't keep doing good work and you can't save more people. And so, yeah, just to kind of piggyback on what you were saying, Philip, of like why our values are in that order. And again, apologies to the squeamish listeners that we've told a blood story and I've made the blood story go longer and I keep saying it. But just to say that I think like, You have to be willing to say at a certain point, like if we really believe that we're making an impact as a company, how do we keep doing that? And how do we make it sustainable? And I think the way you make it sustainable is like you take care of your team and you make sure that everybody who's here is passionate and can continue to be passionate and take care of themselves and take care of their families. So that way people can continue benefiting from the good work that you're doing, and not all of a sudden they find themselves completely burnt out after doing it for 2 years because we've asked them to give everything away.
Yeah. So I think we're giving everybody here permission to think outside their vision, mission, values statement and think truly. When you think about a culture, what is a culture? It's really just a series of habits. And if you think about your culture as a series of habits, then you also are going to have a series of legends, a series of stories that help to guide those habits. And that's kind of what I opened up saying, this is kind of our mantra, because we say it a lot, but it does help our team. It's not just to remind each other. It's also to remind ourselves of what decisions do we make in the day. I talked to a supervisor and I told them about our team, client, community, because they said that they come in the morning and they said they have all the Monday morning, good mornings. Well, how was your weekend conversations with everybody? You know, and we have our share of those here too in the morning. And he's like, I'm coming in my mind thinking, okay, I've got all this work to do right now. And I'm trying to hit the work and trying to hit the ground running and doing all this stuff. And then everybody comes in and I'm distracted. And he's thinking he was going to start to isolate himself in the morning. And I brought out and I said, you know, if you look at it a little bit differently and you realize that those moments when you're working on those relationships and you're checking in with your team and you're doing that, you're doing some of the most important work that you do, the other stuff will keep like you'll still come around. You'll get around to that stuff. But this is some of the most important stuff that you do as a team, because your job is not to make your people do something. Your job is to set up an environment where your people want to do something. That's what the benefit of being people centric is. You don't have to convince a nurse to take care of a patient. And psychologically, if you push the nurse to take care of the patient more, then you rob the nurse of their satisfaction of the work that they give. Where if you take care of the nurse, the nurse will want to take care of the patient because that's why they're a nurse. It's not because of the glory for what they do. It's because of the job that they want to, the impact that they want to make again on the community at the end of the day. So I think that while we say team, client, community, because it fits with the way that we think about it, I think that every organization could come up with their own version of that and really challenge yourself and see if that priority works for you. So closing thoughts for our listeners here on this topic. This is a fun topic because we talk about this all the time internally, but we don't share it a lot out externally. And I hope if you're a client, by the way, you're not thinking, oh, good, I'm your second priority. Fantastic. Well, you are. And I'm sorry, that's how it is. But any other thoughts here for our listeners?
I will, since we didn't expound on the client side very much, I do want to just say that whenever we have the conversation about client and this, and we talk a little bit about like impact or truth telling or things like that, and when we're talking about like how to prioritize like the client and all of the other stuff, again, it's very it's usually for their own good too. So I think we said that, like, yeah, it does. We want to make sure that we're rightly prioritizing like client work or things like that for our team. But also usually it's like, gosh, we're really looking at, are we making an impact for this client? Should we be doing more here? Are we telling them the truth? If we're not, like, what are we doing and why are we not doing that? Have we not been prioritizing them the way that we need to, really? And so I think we're all having those conversations too. And I just wanted to say that because, to your point, Don, we do think a lot about our clients and not just that they're second on our priority list, but we're having those hard conversations too. And it's ultimately to benefit the client as well.
Yeah, not just because that's what they want, but because that's what they need.
Right. Yeah.
And to figure out how to stay with them as they get what they need and as they make decisions along the way. And then also dealing with it when they don't make decisions along the way. And we're riding along for a while going, okay, I know you've got a key decision coming up, or you're trying to come to the table on something, and then figuring out how to support each other as we're riding along with that. So I think this is a great topic, something to just consider with your organization, that if you're going to truly become people-centric, you have to do this weird. And you have to do some weird things like having open time off policies and maybe not having policies at all. Maybe the policy, and I think Diana's brilliant, what she put in our HR manual, it says something, it says failures with our policies are a reflection on the person, not the policy. So if somebody came in and just absolutely failed our team client community policy, it's just not a good fit for our team. It's not a failure in that policy, so to speak. And it's not really a policy, it's a mantra, but it allows us to open up the conversations and it keeps us focused on, keeps our eyes in the right spots. And as we go through our day and we get really, really busy with our clients, that at the end of the day, if we take care of each other, we're all here because for the same reason, because we're passionate about helping to create this movement where people are at the center of everything. And if we take care of each other and show that with each other, then we'll show that with our clients in a better spot. So hopefully this was beneficial for y'all. Hey, send us more topics. We love to hear from you. I know that lots of you are listening. We love to hear from you every once in a while. So shoot us a note. But thanks a lot for joining us here in the latest episode of the People Centric Podcast. We'll check you next time.
Thank you for listening to the People Centric Podcast. We are so grateful for you joining us every week. If you like this content, please like and subscribe. Also, feel free to share on your social media with everyone that you know. It really does help us. If you would like to contact us, I have put our information in the show notes. Please reach out anytime. We love hearing from you. We will be back next week with a new topic. Until then, be well and lead well.